So, another historical mistake. The year 1876, the place Rochester, New York. The Western Union Telegraph Company hears an offer to buy the patent for a brand new communications technology. Company leaders decide that this, and this is a direct quote, "The device is inherently of no value to us." And so they miss their chance to own the patent on Alexander Graham Bell's telephone. 2 years later, after realizing their mistake, they offer $25 million for it. They are turned down. Oops. Well, to start us down the road to our next mistake, someone very familiar with roads, her story even features a road. Terry Ryburn's passion is for Route 66. Terry is the proprietor of Ryburn Place, Gifts and Gab at Sprague's Super Service on Route 66 in Normal. She is co-producing a movie with her best friend, Kathy Davis. Isn't it cute that they're in the same story slam together? Terry is a writer, an award-winning playwright, and a stand-up comedian. She wants you to know that she has had many oops from which to choose from for tonight's story. Give it up for Terry Ryburn.
The bear went over the mountain. The bear went over the mountain. The bear went over the mountain.
Thank you, Devin. In 2014, I turned 66. For those of you who don't do math, I'm 71. And I decided I wanted to do something very symbolic. So I decided to travel Route 66 during my 66th year. So I contacted my friend in England and I said, hey, I'm going to do this Route 66 trip. Do you want to come along with me? Jean Aykroyd is her name, and she's a wonderful traveling companion. She loves the United States. She is involved in everything. She loves adventure. So, of course, she agreed. And we decided we would do Route 66, and then we'd travel up the coast to Seattle, and then we would come back the northern route through Mount Rushmore, for instance, that sort of thing. So that's what we did. We did Route 66. We had a wonderful time. We left on June 4th. Had lots of time, you know, I wasn't working at that point in my life, and went up the coast, and so I'm driving through Montana, and I'm on I-90, and we see this giant billboard, and it says, don't miss our August Testicle Festival, Rock Creek Lodge, Clinton, Montana, and I heard this little murmur from Jean in the seat. But we drove a little further, and there was another giant billboard, and it said, don't miss our August Testicle Festival, Rock Creek Lodge, Clinton, Montana. And Jean said, oh my. And I looked there, he said, oh, well, we have those in Illinois, too. We call them Rocky Mountain Oysters, and sometimes they're hosted by an American Legion or VFW. And she said, oh my, what is it? And I said, oh, well, it's just animal testicles that are battered and deep fried. And I said, why, what did you think it was? And she said, I thought it was men without pants. Which, a whole different festival, right? So that night we stayed in Missoula, Montana, and I looked at the Atlas and I looked at the AAA tour book. And I said, oh my gosh, Jean, we could swing through Yellowstone Park. That's what Americans do, right? We swing through things. We could go in at the northeast or northwest corner and catch Highway 212 and come out on the northeast corner. And I looked in the tour guide and it said, yes, that's exactly what you would do, and you'd come out about 65 miles from Red Lodge, Montana. So I made a reservation at Red Lodge, Montana. And the book also said that the road was open from May through September. And I thought, great, it's June 24th, no problem, we're going to do this. So the next day, we're driving through Yellowstone, we stopped to get something to eat, and as we were eating, Jean turned to me and she said, are we going to see any geezers in the park? And I kind of looked around at all these old men in their ball caps and, you know, their baseball team t-shirts and their tube socks pulled up to their knees. And then I realized she meant geysers. So apparently that's what they say in England, geysers. And I said, oh, yes, of course. So we did. We saw the Old Faithful. We drove through the park. We saw lots of wild animals. We saw tourists getting out of their cars with their cameras, approaching baby bears to take pictures. But we didn't hang around to watch the carnage. We just drove on, picked up 212 as predicted, and we drove out the northeast corner to this little town called Silvergate. Well, it was about 5:30 in the afternoon. We thought, well, we'll just have a quick, you know, dinner, and then we'll get the 65 miles to Red Lodge, and we could relax that evening. So we sat down to dinner in this little cafe, and there was hardly anyone there. But this man came in with three women and sat at the table next to us. And, you know, as you do when you're traveling, you start talking to people. And the man said to me, "Where are you ladies headed?" And I said, "Red Lodge, Montana." And I might have seen some fear in his eyes at that point, but it didn't register. So they got their food and they prayed. And at the end of the prayer, he said, "Oh, Lord, watch over these women as they travel tonight. See them safely to their destination. Amen." And I thought, well, isn't that nice? You know, that is so nice that he included us in his prayers. And as they finished their meal and they exited, they paused at our table and said, "God bless you, ladies, and be safe." And I thought, well, isn't that nice? And then we paid our check, and as we walked out, the server called after us, "You ladies stay safe out there tonight." Well, I thought, this whole town cares about us. This is wonderful. So I turned out of the parking lot, and I drove along this very narrow two-lane road, no traffic at all. And I drove about 20 miles, and then we started to ascend. Then I saw a sign that said, "Warning, road is not patrolled between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. And I thought, well, that's logical. There's no traffic. Why would they bother to patrol it? So by this time, we're about 45 miles from Red Lodge, right? I'm thinking, you know, 45 minutes, we'll be there. Well, the road began to climb and climb, and then it started twisting and turning. And I don't remember when it started raining, but first it was a little drizzle, and then it was pretty heavy, and then it was just a sheet of water, and I could barely see the road. So I'm clutching the steering wheel, creeping along. And then I realize I'm starting to do switchbacks on a mountain ridge. So I'm turning right and I'm turning left and really at right angles. And I don't remember seeing a mountain on the atlas, but that's what we're on. We are climbing a mountain. So I'm sort of hugging the mountainside because it's a very narrow road. And Jean is looking over the sort of skimpy guardrail into nothing below. And I'm creeping along, and finally we came to a meadow. And Jean said, "Terry, I think there's snow on the ground." And I looked over, and, well, yes, there is. There's snow on the ground. We kept climbing, and pretty soon the snow was up to the edge of the road. And there was evidence that a snowplow had been through recently. I'm starting to know now why they don't patrol it between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m., because no sane person would drive over this. But there was no place to turn around and no place to pull over, so I kept driving. Pretty soon, we get to the top of the mountain, and I know that because there's a store there with a big parking lot, and it says, "Top of the World." And I think I made a corny little James Cagney joke, like, "Made it, Ma, top of the world." But it was dark, there was no one around, and the only thing in the parking lot was a giant snowplow. So we couldn't really pull in there. We couldn't have stayed in the car overnight anyway in our skimpy little jackets and sandals. So we began to descend the mountain. Well, I looked to the right, and there was some sort of steel structure over there. And I said, I stopped the car. I said to Jean, I think that's a ski lift. And I think we're at the top of it. Sure enough, that's what it was. So we start to descend. We ran into some fog that was coming off the snow, fog and mist. And then I just had this wall, this white wall with my headlights reflecting back to me. So I get over and I hug the mountain, and I'm going down the mountain on the wrong side, hoping that nothing is coming up the mountain. So I creep along. Well, we got out of the fog, but then the rain started again, and the road was slick. Honestly, my fingers were embedded in the steering wheel at this point. But I'm trying to sound cheerful for Jean. You know, I'm trying to be upbeat. "Oh, won't be long now. We'll just a few minutes, we'll be there. It's probably 20 minutes. We're creeping along, and then one of my headlights burned out. And so it's pitch black. It's pouring rain. I'm hugging a mountain. Jean's no telling what she's doing. I don't dare look at her. But at any rate, we finally see some lights below us. And I more convincingly said, it won't be long now. There it is. But it took us another half hour to get down to where the lights were. So we pulled into this mostly flat town. My GPS took me through all these dark, lonely little streets, ended up in an alley, and there was the motel. Dark, dingy little motel. I pulled into the parking lot. There was a dim little light, one light in the parking lot. So I pried my fingers off the steering wheel and opened the door and stepped out, and my knees buckled. And we made it in there. And the next morning for breakfast, there were motorcyclists in the breakfast room, and they were talking about the wonderful trip they had the day before. It was so bright and sunny. They came over the mountain. They pulled their Harleys over. They saw these beautiful vistas. Well, bunch of weaklings as far as I'm concerned. I mean, we had driven. I had to hold back my contempt for them. We had driven over this mountain through rain, snow, fog, burned out headlight, pitch black. So truly, we were the adventurers. It was quite an achievement. It was a big oops, but it was quite an achievement. And I didn't realize how much of an achievement it was until I was checking out and I looked at the postcard stand and started reading the back of the postcards. And I want to share with you what they described this mountain. I discovered it was called Beartooth Mountain. It climbs to an astounding 10,947 feet above sea level. It has awed millions of viewers with its astonishing views of one of the most rugged and wild areas in the lower 48 states. So, traveling from Yellowstone to Red Lodge makes getting there half the fun. If by fun you mean the spine-tingling chills and breathtaking vistas served up by a spectacular series of sharp, steep switchbacks. My knees started getting weak again when I read that. Another grim assessment of this drive was the Beartooth Highway is a breathtaking stretch of US 212 scaling the Beartooth Range. An engineering marvel, the road zigzags from to 10,947 feet at every turn, unveiling another dizzying vista, weaving in and out of both Wyoming and Montana. Well, I hadn't seen any vistas on this trip, certainly. Jean and I had conquered Beartooth Mountain. We had done it in the dark, in the rain, in the snow, in the fog, with a burned out headlight. Now, I may go back to Yellowstone. I may swing through, catch a couple of geysers. I may go over Beartooth Mountain again, but I'll do it during the day when I can enjoy these beautiful views everybody's talking about. And I may travel to Red Creek Lodge in Clinton, Montana in August for the Testicle Festival. Thank you.